Day. Tonight we're in Obadiah, by the way. Did I say that? We finished Daniel last week as we've walked through the minor prophets chronologically. And next week we are Haggai, then Zechariah, then Malachi, and then we're done. But Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi is going to take about 8 months for those three books, I think. But squeezed in the middle there is this little book, Obadiah. I say little because it is actually the shortest book in the Old Testament. So it's a single sermon book. And the book was written to basically for God to pronounce his judgment upon the Edomites. Now, the Edomites were the descendants of Esau. We all know about Esau and Jacob. Jacob, of course, became the Jews. And the Edomites were the descendants of his brother Esau. And they had a lot of resentment toward the Jews, but they also often would fight with the Jews and had a lot of problems with pride. So it's primarily to rebuke them for their pride, but also to deal with them for their mistreatment of God's people. And this is something people forget a lot of, is that God's on our side, amen? And he will hold people accountable when they mistreat God's people. Don't forget that. God hasn't given up on us. He loves us. We're his children. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And we get to spend forever with him in heaven. And so, very interesting book, this book of Obadiah, written around 500 BC or so. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's very long. But notice verse 1, the vision of Obadiah. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray now you'd use your word to teach us, to grow us. We thank you for the privilege of meeting on a Sunday night, opening these books together and learning. And may we grow through this. We give you the time and I pray, Lord, that you'd be pleased and we'd be changed through it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, remember, it says, the vision of Obadiah says, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. So we know the purpose of the book is God pronouncing his coming judgment upon the Edomites, again, who are the descendants of Esau. It says, we've heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. Verse 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. That's our title tonight, by the way. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, that thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, thus saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? So as you can see, Edom had a serious pride problem. You got to remember that they also came from Isaac and from Abraham and still laid claim to that and to those promises. But for them to have this attitude, who shall bring me down? Who has the power to destroy us? Because we came from Isaac too. We came from Abraham too. And we can lay claim to those things. But God is going to punish them for their pride. Pride is a very deceptive and dangerous trait. And it started with the devil. And it makes us forget God and forget that he sees everything. I'll give you an example. Go to Psalm 9 and verse 17. We could look at a lot of scriptures, of course, because the Bible has a lot to say about the dangers of pride. But notice Psalm 9:17. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Wow, that's very fitting, isn't it? Look at the next chapter, Psalm 10. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. So Edom, their heart had deceived them with their pride, and they had this attitude of who can bring us down? Go back to our passage. God actually answers the question in verse 4 of Obadiah. He says, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, talking to the Edomites, though you exalt yourself as if you're untouchable, And though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down. So God says, who's going to bring you down? Me, saith the Lord. I will bring thee down. So God is the one that will punish the proud. And never forget that. God hates pride. Remember when we studied Proverbs and we looked at chapter 6. And one of the things that it said that he hates is a proud look. God hates pride. Pride goeth before destruction, Proverbs 16:18, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29, a man's pride shall bring him low. And remember in Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar? Pride. He said, look what I built, when he was talking about Babylon. And after God punished him and he spent time eating grass, then he made this bold statement in Daniel 4. He says, those that walk in pride, God is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson about the dangers of pride. So back to our passage, verse 8. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mouth or mount of Esau? And then down in 12. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger, referring, of course, to the descendants of Jacob, which are the Israelites. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. So he's referring back to their captivity, which we've obviously just studied in the book of Daniel. They were taken captive by Babylon. And God is saying, when that all happened to Israel, your response should have been to wail and to say how sad that the descendants of Jacob have been treated this way, but instead they rejoiced. Now, does the Bible say that we're to rejoice when our enemy falls? Actually, it says the opposite. We're not to rejoice when our enemy falls. And Israel had already received their promise that God would bless those that bless them and curse those that curse them. And that's always stood true from Genesis chapter 12. And if you go to Amos 1:9, we looked at that recently. We'll see another example where God is always watching out for his children, even when they have to go through chastisement, even then when they have to go through punishment. That doesn't mean he's completely forsaken them. And that is true for Christians as well. We might have to go through the fire for our disobedience. But that doesn't mean he's given up on us. It just means he's still working in our lives. Notice Amos 1:9. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity of Edom and remembered not the brotherly covenant. Esau and Jacob were still brothers. And God is now going to punish them because they chose to rejoice when Israel was punished instead of to weep with those that weep. And let us never forget, we are on God's side. I should say he's on our side. So moving on, verse 15. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. And that we've studied this over and over again, that when the day of the Lord comes, that all the heathen will be punished. The day of the Lord, go to Joel chapter 2 real quick, verse 11. We know what the day of the Lord refers to. It refers to the time that begins at the rapture, includes the tribulation, and flows right into the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and then into the kingdom. But notice Joel 2:11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? The day of the Lord. And then over in Joel chapter 3, if you're in Joel, look at verse 2. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and part of my land. This is talking about during the tribulation period. at the end during what they call Armageddon. And then Joel chapter 3, verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. This is the valley that where this big battle will take place. God says, yes, tribulation is all about punishing Israel for their disobedience, but that doesn't mean he's ever forsaken them completely. And he will punish those who have not stood with Israel. The Edomites by then will be gone. Go to verse 17 of our passage. Obadiah 17, but upon Mount Zion, we know this represents the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ with its headquarters in Jerusalem, shall be what? Deliverance. And there shall be holiness. And the house of who? Jacob shall possess their possessions. People look at history and they say, oh, the Jews this, the Jews that. God is not done with the Jews. How many times have we seen this all through the Old Testament that these promises will be fulfilled? And where will be deliverance? Where will be holiness? Mount Zion. The house of Jacob is the one who will possess this beautiful kingdom. Deliverance will be on Mount Zion. Holiness, go to Isaiah 35:8. Holiness of all things will be on Mount Zion. And in the course of rebuking Edom, the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, God is also reminding them, my promises to Jacob stand true. Notice Isaiah 35:8, and an highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Israel will possess the land that they've been promised, the land that they only partially possessed when they went into the promised land, but in the kingdom it will be all theirs, including, go to Isaiah 14:1, including the land of the Edomites. Needless to say, Obadiah was not a popular prophet with the Edomites. Isaiah 14:1, for the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and will set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. Where the Edomites were is part of the promised land. Israel gets it in the end. So back to our passage, verse 18 of Obadiah, he says, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. Ouch. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not, look at this, there shall not any be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken. In other words, the Edomites were to disappear. By the way, that's already happened. This was given around 500 BC. Not long after, there are no longer any Edomites. Has anybody ever met one? That's because they're gone. You look back where they came from, they were descendants of Esau. Jacob and Esau, the offspring of Isaac, who was renamed Israel. But because of their pride and because of their mistreatment of their brother, the descendants of Jacob, the Israelites, God says, I am going to wipe you off the face of the earth. So you can see Obadiah is a very powerful prophecy against the Edomites, because he says here in verse 18, there won't be any left. And then he finishes in verse 21, and Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. So again, the Lord Jesus Christ, the ruler of Israel, the ruler of the world during the kingdom, his kingdom will even include the Mount of Esau. So they lose their mountain, they lose their kingdom, they lose their land, they even lose their complete heritage. All because of pride. Verse 3, the pride in thine heart hath deceived thee, and because of how they chose to treat Jacob, their brother. You know, Genesis 12, if you want to go back there and we'll close, still stands today. It's almost 4,000 years old, this prophecy, this promise of Genesis 12. And many people now scoff at it because it is 4,000 years old. They think, well, this can't be true anymore. Look how the Jews have been mistreated over the centuries. Look how everyone hates the Jews. Genesis 12:3. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. This is the promise that God gave to Abraham when he called him out to start a new nation. And he said, the nations that choose to stand with you, I'll bless. The nations that choose to attack you, I will curse. And through you, through your offspring, hence the Lord Jesus Christ, all the earth shall be blessed. So really, all of it, Jesus coming to earth, Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus rising again, Jesus giving us eternal life, all of that is a fulfillment of Genesis 12:3. Because you and I are all blessed because of Jesus. And Jesus is the answer to Genesis 12:3. But that's part of the promise. The other part is that God's never done with the Jews. And nations need to learn and understand this. Because nations who turn their back on Israel, God eventually turns his back on them, as we see with the Edomites. Nations who stand with Israel, God will stand with them. And you know, a lot of the verses that we talk about that are actually during the tribulation period, people misquote and bring them into the church age. For example, Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. How many people have heard that quoted for the church age? That's not talking about the church age. That's talking about the tribulation period. And he's saying, during the tribulation period, if you treat my people right, the Jews, because the Antichrist is going to turn his back on them halfway through and the whole world's going to hate them. If you treat them right, I'm going to bless you for it. But if you treat them wrong, I'm going to curse you for it. Most of those misquoted prophecies are talking about how people treat God's children, his chosen nation, Israel. So he told through Obadiah, the Edomites, the pride of thine heart had deceived thee. You thought that because I let you go this long and have all this land, that you could do whatever you wanted. And you could mistreat your brother Jacob. And once you did that, you stepped over a line. And therefore the Edomites will cease to exist, which has already happened. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for again this beautiful book, this beautiful